It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, here we are in our Bible study time with Connie Stampfel. Hello, Connie.
Hi, Amy.
We're in lesson 54 today. What will we be focusing on?
This chapter is going to be about Judah and Tamar.
All right. Why don't I read the chapter and then Connie will teach. Genesis 38, verses 1 through 30. It happened at that time that Judah went down from his brothers and turned aside to a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. There Judah saw the daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. He took her and went into her, and she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Ur. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. Yet again she bore a son, and she called his name Shelah. Judah was in Chazib, and she bore him. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, "Go into your brother's wife and perform the duty of a brother-in-law to her and raise up offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that offspring would not be his, so whenever he went into the brother's wife, he would waste the semen on the ground so as not to give the offspring to his brother. And what he did was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and he put him to death also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, "Remain a widow in your father's house until Shelah, my son, grows up," for he feared that he would die like his brothers. So Tamar went and remained in her father's house. In the course of time, the wife of Judah, Shua's daughter, died. When Judah was comforted, he went up to Timnah to his sheep shearers, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And when Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep," she took off her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil, wrapping herself up, and sat at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown up, and she had not been given to him in marriage. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. He turned to her at the roadside and said, "Come, let me come in to you," for he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. She said, "What will you give me that you may come in to me?" He answered, "I will send you a young goat from the flock." And she said, "If you give me a pledge until you send it." He said, "What pledge shall I give you?" She replied, "Your signet and your cord and your staff that is in your hand." So he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. Then she arose and went away, and taking off her veil, she put on the garments of her widowhood. When Judah sent the young goat by his friend the Adullamite to take back the pledge from the woman's hand, he did not find her. And he asked the men of the place, "Where is the cult prostitute who is at Enaim at the roadside?" And they said, "No cult prostitute has been here." So he returned to Judah and said, "I have not found her." Also the men of the place said, "No cult prostitute has been here." And Judah replied, "Let her keep the things as her own, or we shall be laughed at. You see, I sent this young goat, and you did not find her." About 3 months later, Judah was told, "Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has been immoral. Moreover, she is pregnant by immorality." And Judah said, "Bring her out. Let her be burned." As she was being brought out, she sent word to her father-in-law, "By the man to whom these belong, I am pregnant." And she said, "Please identify who these are, the signet and the cord and the staff." Then Judah identified them and said, "She is more righteous than I, since I did not give her to my son Shelah." And he did not know her again. When the time of her labor came, there were twins in her womb. And when she was in labor, one put out a hand, and the midwife took it and tied a scarlet thread on his hand, saying, "This one came out first." But as he drew back his hand, behold, his brother came out, and she said, "What a breach you have made of yourself." Therefore his name was called Perez. Afterward, his brother came out with a scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was called Zerah.
Thank you, Amy. Well, what an interesting chapter. Here we have a chapter about Judah and Tamar and the descendants of Judah, interspersed in this story of Joseph, because at the end of chapter 37, we had just the end, coming to know that Joseph had been taken to Egypt, sold as a slave, and he was in Potiphar's house. And then now we have this interesting chapter about Judah. Remember, Joseph is kind of out of the way, and it looks like the firstborn chosen son by his father Jacob is gone. And so now Judah really would be probably the favored son in a sense, or maybe the one the birthright would come through. And we're going to see throughout this chapter several things about firstborn and why that's so important. But initially we find out that Judah is not an especially righteous man because he does several things that would be displeasing to God. Notice how he goes to settle in Adullam by the Canaanites. He has a close association and friends with the Canaanites. He marries a Canaanite wife, and then he has three sons, and it's emphasized that Ur is the firstborn. We find that Judah goes ahead and finds a wife for Ur because, again, children are important, and the family line will be going through that firstborn Ur. And interestingly enough, we find that Ur was so wicked, God chose to kill him. Don't know why, but something was going on. And obviously, living in the Canaanite community was not a good thing for Judah's family. Then we find that Judah takes his second son, Onan, and has him marry Tamar. And this is called Levirate marriage. And it was a custom of the time, but it's also repeated in the Bible in Leviticus and then in Ruth. And the idea was to ensure the inheritance rights of the firstborn, the eldest son. If that man died before his wife produced an heir, then another son was to marry the woman, and the first child would be have the inheritance rights of the first son. And we find that Onan was wicked because he chose not to fulfill that duty. He would not allow Tamar to conceive a child, and God killed him also. And then we find Judah acting, and it seems from the story, it seems that he's concerned that Tamar is the dangerous one, or she's the cause of these sons dying. And so he sends her back to her family and says, wait until my youngest son grows up, and then he can fulfill that duty. Well, the problem is Judah is not faithful because he does not fulfill his word. And Tamar figures this out, and she sets up a meeting with Judah because she hears he's going to go out and shear his sheep. And so she puts a veil over herself. We've heard before in Genesis that covering yourself with a veil could be a sign of being betrothed, but it also disguises oneself. Turns out that Judah thinks she's a prostitute and engages her, and they have sexual relations. And then the other part in this little bit that's very interesting is that Tamar asks for and receives pledges of Judah. And I think we can understand that she doesn't trust him because he's already not kept his word. And so she takes his signet ring, which is something that they use to roll over some clay and make a seal. And so it was very specific to him, and his cord and his staff, which might also have had identifying marks. And so she is going to be able to prove who would be the father of her children if that's what happens. Then we find later on that Judah actually tries to obtain his items back by giving a goat, but it turns out there's no woman there because actually there's no prostitute there. It was actually Tamar who'd come the one time to meet with Judah. The whole episode here, though, talks about immorality and Judah and him doing that. We also see that when he discovers and is told that Tamar is pregnant, and obviously because she's a widow, she should not be having any children, he says, let her be burned. And as women, we immediately recognize there's a double standard going on here. And Tamar then produces those identifying items of Judah, the signet ring and the cord and the staff. And he has to acknowledge that he is the father of her child. And then he says something which I think is the beginning of the change in Judah. He says, she is more righteous than I. And so he acknowledges that she is more concerned with the inheritance rights of Ur, his firstborn son, than he was. And she has done, in a sense, the right thing, perhaps not all the way through the right way. So then we find she has two sons, twins. And again, the idea of firstborn is very much stressed. And there's a struggle in the womb, and one sticks out a wrist, and then Perez is born, and he's the one who has a name which means pushing through or breaking through. And then what's important about this is he will be in the line of David, who will be in the line of Jesus Christ. And so through Tamar and Judah come a special son. I think what we need to recognize in this chapter is that God is working through imperfect people, and his grace is being bestowed. His blessing is coming on people who don't deserve it. They don't merit it, but God has plans, and he's working. So that wraps up today's lesson in Genesis. Please find the notes on naomistable.com.